friends, one cup at a time.
Tea time.
Yeah, this is tea time.
Yeah.
Making a difference, one cup at a time.
Tea time.
So be sure to grab your tea, grab a seat, and tune in to Miss Liz.
Tea time. Making a difference, one cup at a time.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Tea Time. Miss Liz is back in the house. And today we have an incredible guest here, Alexi Brassi. And we're going to be talking about kindness because we need a lot more kindness in the world today. We live in a world where there's a lot of hate and shame and guilt and all of that. So we're going to lighten it up and we're going to bring you a transitioning, empathic, and attunement tea today. That's the tea we're serving this afternoon. So we're going to get into Alexi's a little bit on her life and all of the incredible work that she does. So grab your tea, grab your coffee, grab your glass of juice, your water. You do not have to drink tea to sit and have tea with Miss Liz. So we're going to do the disclaimer and we're going to get the bio and we're going to get Alexi in here and we're going to spill a different type of tea in Miss Liz's house. Disclaimer for Miss Liz's Tea Time live show. Miss Liz, myself, is going live using StreamYard. Before leaving a comment, please grant StreamYard permission to see your name at StreamYard.com. Please be advised that the content brought forward for any Tea Time show hosted by myself, Miss Liz, is always brought forward in good faith. However, may bring forward dialogues and opinions that are not representative of my platform. The facts and information are perceived to be accurate at the given time of airing. All Tea Time guests and audience participants are responsible for using their good judgment in taking any action that may relate to the discussion. The content brought forward may include discussions for some where they may be emotionally at risk, and it is significant to know that this show is engaging in discussion forums only to offer and inspire awareness and connection and is not providing therapeutical advice. If you have any questions about the disclaimer or the panelist discussion, you may freely contact me, Miss Liz, through my email at bookingmissliz@gmail.com. Moving forward, should you choose to voluntarily participate in today's show in any aspect, I myself, Miss Liz, welcomes you, and should you decide that the show is not made for you at this time, I respect those wishes and will see you at a later date and time. Again, all Tea Time shows are done on Thursday, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If it's done on a Monday or Tuesday, it's a rescheduled tea time or it's a surprise tea time that Miss Liz has coming your way. So now a little bit on my guest. Well, who is my guest today? Well, my guest is Alexi Brassi, is a health and wellness expert with over 20 years of experience in helping people heal from the inside out. After being diagnosed with cancer, more than 20 years ago, she discovered the power of mindset and made a few lifestyle changes. Remarkably, she became cancer-free in just 1 year without any medical intervention, drugs, or surgery. Alexi now inspires professionals to optimize their mental, emotional, and physical health for improved well-being and longevity, sharing happiness, tools, and knowledge gained from her own healing journey. Trainer promoting happiness to all I meet because the world is not in a good place. Whether random acts of kindness, showing love, practicing gratitude, or sharing jokes, that is her mission. She works with those recently given a health challenging diagnosis, or executive who have lost their mojo and is reflected in the staff. She provides tools and techniques to optimize your emotional, mental, and physical well-being so that you can live your joy, meaning, and a sense of fulfillment coupled with happiness. So let me get Alexi in here and let's spill some tea in a different way with Miss Liz's style. So welcome, Alexi.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
So I am so glad that you are here because we need kindness, right? We need to really lighten up the world and get people on a healthier and strong mindset, correct?
Oh, absolutely. The happiness levels on the planet have plummeted 25% in the last 4 years. That's incredible. Wow. You know, 25%. It's affecting everybody. It's affecting, you know, students, parents, teachers, colleagues, you know, the hospitality field, the health field. It just every industry.
Wow, 25%. Mm-hmm. That is crazy. So, Alexia, I want to take you back. I want to take you way back. Who was Alexia, a little girl, and who is Alexia now?
I was a little girl. I was very independent. I was an only child. So I always just did things my way and by myself. I sold the most Girl Guide cookies in, you know, grade 7, 6, I don't know. I sold the most chocolate bars in high school. So, you know, if I put my mind to something, I really excelled at it. And so I guess it wasn't a great surprise that when I was diagnosed with cancer, I had that positive mindset that I knew I was going to beat it, you know. And so throughout my whole life, I've always had that positive, I'm going to do it, I'm going to beat it, I'm going to conquer it, I'm going to achieve it. And so now I just like to inspire people and show them, because everybody can have that positive mindset to achieve what you really want to achieve, whether it's better health, better marks, a better job, you know, your significant other, a better home, whatever it is.
Well, I think being a little girl, you had that mindset of I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it done, right?
That's right. Exactly. I know. And I remember distinctly, I was, I don't know, a year and a half. I was in a playpen outside, and this is when the playpens were wooden. And so I'm holding on to handlebars that were up here. And I vividly remember thinking, nobody's going to fence me in. I'm going to do it my way. And I have done it my way.
I like that. No one's just going to fence me in. I like that. So, Alexi, the positive mindset, because cancer is a big thing, right? A lot of people, as soon as they get that cancer diagnosis, they're like, okay, what's the treatment? When exactly. You were diagnosed with cancer, did you even go into that direction of treatment, or you were just like, no, I'm going to do this on my own?
I didn't. Well, number one, I used to be a lab technologist, so I could read lab results.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I asked for another opinion. And so basically, a pathologist just walked me down the hallway, and his colleague reread the report. I mean, so much for a second opinion. And I thought, forget it. I'm not going to do any of this allopathic stuff, not to negate it in some circumstances. It's definitely essential, but I was going to do it naturally. And, you know, I spent hours at bookstores and libraries because I really didn't know anything about health or healing or cancer or diet. And why I was in bookstores and libraries 20 years ago, the internet availability isn't what it is today. So that's where I did my research. And I was living on the west coast of Canada at the time. And the raw food movement had come up from California, and I was a chef then. And so I just switched my traditional chef hat to a raw food chef hat. So a raw food diet was really, I would say, very instrumental in my healing journey, plus the mindset. Plus I eliminated the toxic ingredients in our homes that are so prevalent that are causing cancer. And did some internal healing work, and lo and behold, here I am today, more than 20 years later.
Yeah, Alexi, I had found that I found out that you were a chef, so I wanted to get into that. Like, how old were you when you got into becoming a chef?
I was in my early 30s. My girlfriend and I were taking a cake decorating course at school, and the teacher asked me to come back the next term and help her teach. The challenge was I was left-handed. So when I was demonstrating to the students, it was a little backwards for them because they all were right-handed, but nevertheless, it worked. And then I decided to pursue my studies as a chef. And so I went on, I gave up my job as a lab technologist, and I had a catering company, and then I eventually switched to plant-based. And then I've taught over the years the Holistic School of Nutrition at Paramount Place in Canada. Another well-respected wellness center. I've done independent classes at chiropractic offices, health offices for private individuals, and I've helped a lot of people along the way, because diet really is very instrumental in whether you're going to be healthy or not so healthy.
So when you hear the word diet, Alexi, what comes to mind for you for that?
Well, people, you know, there's the big discussion now, you know, vegan or not vegan. I do promote a plant-based diet. It's up to the individual. There's been a lot of research done for the benefits. You know, the more fruits and vegetables you can eat, the healthier you're going to be. But unfortunately, our foods are so heavily sprayed with chemicals and toxins and glyphosate now, you know, you have to eat organic. That's the bottom line, because even though you may be eating, you know, the adequate amount of vegetables and fruit, but if it's heavily sprayed with chemicals, you're negating any benefit from it. Because you can't wash a lot of these chemicals and toxins off your food, because it's in the soil, so it's inside the cells of your food. So definitely organic. And I suggest to people, try a plant-based diet for a week or 2 weeks and see how you feel. You know, challenge your family to go vegan one day a week. See how you feel.
Well, it only starts with one day a week, right? You can start with day, then 2 days. And I'm like you with the vegetables and fruits. You can't wash that stuff off.
No.
It doesn't matter how much you wash your fruit and vegetables off. There's still that chemical base. There's still that, you know, and I'm finding that, I don't know if it's just myself, but even my granddaughter's noticing it, because she likes blueberries. And the last batch of blueberries I got, she was like, nanny, no. And I was like, oh, okay, there's something with these blueberries. And then I tried to ask, like, oh, they don't taste even like a blueberry anymore. So, you know, there's so much out there. And a lot of people don't wash their fruits and vegetables.
That's right. That's right.
You know, they just buy and then they cut and chop and prepare and not realizing that all these chemicals are on there. So what did being a chef teach you about yourself, Alexi?
I'm sorry, what did what?
What did being a chef teach you about yourself?
That food is very paramount for your health, for camaraderie, for your energy, for warding off dis-ease. I mean, food speaks to millions of people across the board, whether it's, you know, having family dinners, inviting people over for dinner. Celebrations are always revolve around food, whether it's a wedding or an anniversary or, you know, anything. So food is really paramount in our life for everybody, you know, like not just ourselves as humans, but for our animals, for the bees, for the spiders, for the mice. We all need food to sustain.
So learning how to become a chef, you have to learn like all the nutrients and proteins and all of that and ingredients. So it's almost like dissecting a frog, right, in science class?
Well, yes, but, you know, as a chef, they really just teach you the techniques on how to prepare and a blend of flavors and all that. You know, the if you take it further on the proteins and the fats and the nutrients in it, that's sort of more on the nutritional scale, which I did study as well. And so it just encompasses so much. You know, food isn't just what you eat. It's what you digest, what you absorb, you know, how it sustains you, how it gives you energy, how it makes you healthy, how it slows aging.
The reason that I asked you that, Alexi, is because I want to go into the tea. And food is blending, right? So your tea is a blend.
Oh,
and
yes.
You gave me a really strong tea. You gave me transitioning. I'm going to go through the words one by one and break them down why you gave me those words, because that tells your story as well. So you gave me, for the tea, you gave me transitioning. So why that word?
I don't know. Just, I guess it was my little intuition that came into my mind at the time. Tea transitions from, you know, your meal to relaxing after your meal. It transitions to you maybe changing the subject with your company to maybe something lighter or a deeper conversation. It transitions you to maybe you're going to tell your children that unless they pull up their grades, they're going to be grounded. And maybe transitioning to your spouse saying, I got a new promotion, we're going to have to move. So it's sort of that place where you can sort of relax and take a breath before you talk about another subject, and your food is digesting, so you know, there's no hurry.
And the reason that I ask my guests these questions, like what is their tea, is because I want to get to know my guest, right? I want to have that friendly conversation and understand why you do what you do. And transitioning has to do with a lot of kindness, a lot of the outwork that we do, right? The volunteering, the educating, the providing. And you've done this through your life. with Girl Guides and School Chocolate Bars and Chef and Health and Wellness. So you transitioned bit by bit as you grew. So I really like the word transitioning, because we don't hear that word a lot. A lot of people don't even say that word in today's world. So I think it's really important that you know that we start using words to describe who we are and how we serve. I think it really makes a difference. And the next word that you gave me was empathic.
Well, you know, everybody behind every face is a story of loss, of grief, of trauma. And so you don't know what's going on in that person's life. So, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe something not very nice has happened, or they're living through some kind of loss, some kind of grief. And, you know, it doesn't take any effort to show empathy to people, because we all need it. You know, empathy, I can say, sort of related to kindness. The more kindness you give, the more comes back to you. The more empathy you give, that good feeling for the other person is reflected back to you, because you can see it maybe in their actions, maybe their smile, maybe it's a hug. So, you know, you give not to receive. You don't give to get.
Yep.
You give as a bonus to receive something. You're just doing it out of the kindness of your heart. That's the bottom line.
Well, I think a lot of people don't even understand kindness.
No.
You know, they think, they don't. Oh, well, I did this, so I have to tell everybody that I did this. There's a lot of things that I do. A lot of people are like, oh, Miss Liz, you did that? I don't need to tell everybody that I did that. I just like to do it. Like, I just like to, you know, just make a smile. I have somebody have a smile on their face and not have to go and take a picture of it or broadcast it.
That's right.
You know, I feel like the world has come to, well, look at me. Look what I did. Look what I did. Now, That's not real kindness, you know. Real kindness is just smiling at your neighbor, just saying hi, you know, saying, hey, come over here. Let's have a conversation. You know, like what we're doing today. We're just having this open dialogue and getting to know each other. And I got to know you through Jacqueline and Jackie. And, you know, and that's just the way that real kindness is done. It's just passing connections on to one another. So I want to get into your A. You gave me attunement. I've never heard that word before. So I want to know a little bit more about that word.
Attunement. I don't know. I guess you could break it up. You're attuned to what's going on. You're aware of what's going on. You're in connection with what's going on. You have that innate ability to read between the lines. Because in everybody's conversation, there's always an underlying message, you know. In the midst of laughter, maybe there's sorrow. In the midst of anger, maybe there's issues of lack of self-worth. In somebody ignoring you is maybe they're feeling sorry for themselves and they don't know how to answer the question. So it's just really being attuned to other people's emotions, to their body language, to their smile or lack of their smile. Whether engaged in a conversation with you or not, in a respectful way or not a respectful way. You know, we're all on this earth learning, suffering, and sharing.
Sharing one little bit at a time. I'm truly blessed and grateful for all of my guests that come to my table, because I get to know a little bit and I get to learn a little bit as well, and I get educated as well. You know, if you don't open their minds to understanding individuals, how can we move forward, right? How can we create humanity? And I'm huge on humanity. So how do you feel about today's world, Lexi?
It's a very sad place, actually. You know, there's so much anger and resentment and wars. And, you know, our youth is really taking a large brunt of it. Because after cancer, suicide is the second reason for death among youth in North America. I mean, that's horrific, you know? So how do you instill that self-worth, that self-resilience, that self-love into our youth? Whose responsibility is it? Is it the parents? Is it the teachers and the school system? It's a combination of both. You know, how many dinners do you have with your family that are tech-free?
Yeah.
How many outings do you have with your family on a regular basis? How many times do you encourage your children as opposed to scolding them? And you teach them to do likewise, to put a smile on somebody's face when you go to school today, give somebody a hug, make them feel important, you know, send an anonymous note saying why you like them or why you're grateful to them. So, you know, it starts at home, yes, yeah. But a school system needs to open their eyes too, because the kids spend so much time at school, and, you know, not everybody comes from a happy family. So it's a combination of, so that's my big focus right now, is just to getting it into the school systems. So let's, you know, make their lives a joyous place so they have good memories and they become good citizens and productive and raise happy families themselves.
And I think it's deeply important that the community does get involved in school systems. You know, I've noticed that a lot of the community has backed away from the systems.
Yeah.
A lot of parents have backed out of volunteering. I know growing up, my grandma was in there volunteering for like an event. We had a field trip, you know, mom and dad or grandma and grandpa were coming on the field trip. We're not seeing that anymore. We're seeing this delay, this back of, oh, it's on the school. It's on the school. It's on the teacher. We need to get involved. We need to start stepping up, you know, and all walks of life. We can walk into a school and say, like, how can I help today? How can I volunteer? You know, does this teacher need extra help? Does this teacher need respites? And with all of the different diagnoses that are going on in today's world, you know, I think a teacher has a hard job, and I don't think they get enough credit for what they do today.
I agree with you. It's a combination. You know, what's that quote? It takes one village to raise a, you know, whatever. I can't remember what that quote is.
Yeah, it takes a village to build to raise a child.
Yeah, you know, it's all a combination. You know, your neighbors, your relatives, the family members, the teachers, the community, the groups that kids go to, you know, whether sports groups, art classes, whatever. But parents need to take more of an interest and commitment and time with them. You know, that's why we brought them into this world, to make them, you know, outstanding, loving citizens and parents ultimately themselves. But we have to show by example as well.
That's a big thing, right, Alexi, is show by example. You know, in today's world, everyone is saying, oh, well, you could do this, you could do that, you should be doing that. We're all shooting, wooding, cutting, but none of us are stepping up and doing it.
That is so very true. Absolutely.
You know, I watch and I analyze a lot, and I'm just like, well, I'm going to go and step in there, you know, and let me see, like, you know, I'm that crazy lady coming in with a cup of tea and saying, like, let's shake it up a little bit. Let's find out what's going on over here. So Alexi, I want to get into the health and wellness, because you were in it for 20 years. So what did you see in those 20 years?
Poor diets. People think it's a one quick fix. You know, if I can come to this wellness center where I worked, excuse me, if I'm there for a week, then, you know, all my problems are fixed. I've lost the weight and then I can go back to my old ways. Well, no, it's a lifelong thing.
Yeah.
You know, it, and unfortunately, most, with all due respect, most retreats, whether they're food related or personal growth related, you go away for, you know, 7 days, 10 days, 2 weeks, and you go home. And after 2 weeks, that energy has worn off and you're back to your old ways. So, you know, you need a mentor, a coach, somebody that will, or even a support group that will keep you accountable to maintain those good habits, you know, because, you know, it's just like when you're watering your plant and you're watering it and you're talking to it and it's in sunshine, it grows. But if you stop watering it and it, forget the sunshine, it's going to wither away and die. So it's a constant thing. We need that constant reassurance, that support, that nutrition, the fresh air, that cup of tea.
Right? We need that cup of tea. It's mm-hmm. that time of community, that time of connecting. My grandma, she passed in November, and for me, it was always the connection, right? Having that time of just that conversation and turning off the rest of the world and just connecting one-on-one. And this is why I love doing these tea times with my guests, is because I like to have that connection. I like to engage and find out why you serve the way you do. What brought you to the way, you know, what did you overcome? You know, because we all have that story, like you said, Alexi, where we've all suffered grief, mental health, abuse, trauma, triggers. You know, we all have a story. We all have something that we have overcome. So what message do you have for anyone that's with the retreats? Because, you know, when you go to a retreat, you go for 7 days and you come home and you're like, oh, well, I'm going to do this. But then you're back into the old habits. You're into back right. into the old ways, right? It's like going on vacation. You go on vacation for a week, then you come back and you need a vacation from the vacation.
That is so true. You know, connect with people, make friends with, or stay in touch with the people that you met on your retreat, and commit to being a support system for one another, or start your own, or connect with other like-minded people. And you know, again, it comes back down to community, because we're not meant to be solo players. You know, you reach out to your friends when you're down and out, when you need some advice, when you need a pick me up, when you need a hug. We're not meant to do it by ourselves.
So, Alexia, I found something on Robin Williams. So what does who is Robin Williams to you?
Robin Williams was to me somebody that, in spite of the trials and tribulations and challenges he had in his life, he portrayed like he was a happy person, and he touched so many people's lives. I really identify with one quote that he said. He said, I don't know how much of an impact I've made on this planet, but if I made one person happy, it was all worthwhile. I mean, I just so identify with that. And so I have a practice of sharing jokes to people at the dog park, at the grocery store, at the ATM machine, on Zoom calls with service providers on the phone. Because, number one, it lowers cortisol, raises endorphins, the feel-good hormones in your brain, and laughter has been shown to promote longevity. And so then I shared it with a gentleman. He goes home and he says to his wife, he says, you know what? I met this crazy lady at the dog park. She shared a joke, but it was really good. And the story continues, you know? I mean, there's just so many little things you can do to make an impact in people's lives. A joke may be one of them. For example, another thing that I really get a lot of happiness from is, and kindness, is I have two dogs and they get a lot of attention. And so I'm on the elevator and they're sitting beside me and they're waiting because they get a treat. And so there's a mother there with her 4-year-old little girl, and the little girl's eyes are all big and glass, and she's watching me do this. And so I say to her, do you want to give him a treat? And she nods yes. And so I put this little treat in her hand, and so she feeds each one of the dogs. She is just overjoyed. But 3 weeks later, I see her down on the street, and she still remembers.
Oh, it's so precious when they remember, right? And it's when a kid gives you a rock or a stick or something, hold on to it, because they trusted you to give you that rock and stick. Like in my memory box, I have a lot of little trinkets, and my kids will ask me, Mom, why do you have that? And I was like, oh, well, this little kid down the street gave me that years ago. You know, there's a story behind it, and it's the story of tea. It's the story that who made that cup, who put the tea in there, who served it, right? It's the stories that we leave behind and the legacies that we leave behind. Like that little girl might be impacted for the rest of her life, knowing that she got to give that treat to that puppy.
And then she may not be scared of dogs, you know?
It's the little things, right? We forget the little things in life, and we really need to bring back those little moments and say, you know, these are the moments that we live for. You know, because the big stuff will come and go, but it's the little things that make the impact. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Robin Williams did, is he made that impact with the little efforts that he put in.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah. When I seen that, I was like, oh, I got to ask about Robin, because I really believe that Robin Williams was a man who lived with a lot of deep pain that nobody ever understood.
Yeah. But he certainly made an impact with his laughter, especially children in hospitals. I mean, he's just quite an inspiration, very much so.
Yeah. I remember Patch Adams. That was that was an awesome movie. And then there was Mork and Mindy. I used to watch that all the time. And when I tell people about Mork and Mindy, they're like, what are you talking? I was like, oh, check it out. You know, we need to bring those oldies back. We need to bring the old laughter back. Today, I find like a lot of programming is really black and white. There's no openness and no empathy in the message. It's just, this is the way the show is going to be, and this is the story, and that's the way it is. The storyline has been erased. That's how I feel a lot when I watch a lot of things today, is the storyline behind the outcome is missing. You know?
That's right. It's not anything to give you a happy memory about.
Yeah. So I want to get into your favorite color. Your favorite color is turquoise. So why that color?
I don't know. I just like vibrant colors. And I used to wear a lot of turquoise before I let my hair go gray. And now I was told that I shouldn't wear those kinds of colors, like sort of a little more subdued, is more appealing to me. I still resonate to the turquoise because it's vibrant, it's alive. Like turquoise could be the sky, it could be the water, you know, the waves. I don't know, it's just alive. I just like the vivid colors. They sort of make you feel alive. You know, would you rather sit in a room that's no color? Would you rather sit in a room that's vibrant, because it will lift your spirits? And you know, colors have a vibration. And so, you know, on the spectrum, you know, the reds, the violets, the blues, the greens, that, you know, and then if you want to attach it to, is your chakras, you know, same thing.
I think turquoise is a nice calming color. Mm-hmm. But it also has that vibrant. Mm-hmm. Let it flow, right? Let's play. You know, it's like the little girl that wants to play and skip and hop. And, you know, our skipping ropes used to be turquoise, I believe, growing up too. I remember a turquoise skipping rope.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of giving my age away. A lot of people think I'm this young pup, but, you know, but back in the day, we used to play. We used to have that conversation, right? We used to engage. So how can we change that today with kindness?
You know, kindness is not just what you do, but it's what you think. So before you say something to someone, make sure the word is kind. Because like I said before, everybody's fighting some kind of battle. So it doesn't feed their soul. It doesn't make them feel worthwhile. It doesn't make them feel special. Kindness goes a long way to repair broken hearts, relationships, start new relationships. It's just, we need more kindness in the world, you know, and kindness can take different shapes by bringing more love or joy into a person's life, because you want to be kind to them. Like we have to be, you know, we're kind to our furry family. You know, we're kind to the neighbor. We're kind to the postman, we're kind to the garbage man. Kindness goes a long way because it you know, it raises the feel-good hormones, and everybody deserves a little bit of kindness because we're on this planet fighting some kind of battle, just some kind of battle.
So, Lexi, how do we unlock the potentials of a happy life?
I sort of equate kindness and gratitude sort of together. You know, show a kind act to somebody unannounced, whether it's, you know, say, send them a card or a flower or bake some muffins for their kindness, just because they offered you a smile, because they gave you a ride, because they called you up when you knew that you were down and out. But then also with the kindness comes gratitude. Be grateful that you can show kindness to people. Be grateful for the kindness people showed you. Be grateful that you can randomly put a smile on somebody's face by doing a kind act. Because you never know, like I said, what's going on in people's lives. Another example, if I can share, I became friends with a young Filipino man about 4 or 5 months ago while I was walking my dogs. He'd be walking on the street having a cigarette. And so we became friends, and he had come from the Philippines to look after his brother who was suffering from cancer. So he would take him for his chemo and everything else. And then I would see him every 2 or 3 weeks. We'd just have a short conversation. And then one day he said to me that his brother had died, and there was a service at the funeral home just down the street in a couple of weeks, and would I go? And I said, yeah, I'll come. And so I arrived at the funeral home. There were about 30 Filipinos in the chapel. I was the only white person. I went up to the front to pay my respects to my friend. He took me up to the casket. I had not met his brother. And he said that they were waiting for arrangements to ship the body and the casket back to the Philippines for burial because his mother couldn't come here for the funeral. And so, you know, we chatted a few words and then I left. A few weeks later, I'm walking down the street and this Filipino lady, young woman, comes up to me and she says, weren't you at, you know, so-and-so's funeral a few weeks ago? I said, yes, I was. She says, you have no idea how you impacted our community.
Wow.
That touched me maybe more than the community was touched. I don't know, I'm making a statement. But for me, it was just a random act of kindness. And they were so grateful. So you never know how you can touch people's lives with just doing something that you don't think is necessarily very significant.
It's the little impacts, right, that become the big impacts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it didn't cost anything to do that. It just took the time and energy to go and pay respects to somebody that you didn't even know.
No, I know. I tell you, I was so touched by her comment.
Yeah. I think, you know, today's tea time for my listeners out there, I just want to open that door for, you know, if you know somebody's going through a hard time, just take that moment, take that time. You know, put your phones down, put that technology away and just have that interaction, have that connection. I think we need more of that. We need more of the human connection. We're virtually connecting, but if you were in the area, I would love to have a tea in person. I always encourage people to come to Ms. Liz's house and have a real cup of tea because then I can take out the cookies and all of the treats and all of that good stuff. So, you know, it's just that time to connect. I found something when I did some research, Alexi, on dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to speak on that today?
Well, it is preventable. It is very significantly related to diet, primarily glyphosate, which is sprayed on our food. I have worked or lived for short periods of time with several individuals suffering from dementia. And diet is paramount. You know, the blue zones, which are 7 communities on the planet that are the healthiest, longest living well into their 90s and hundreds. Why? Because they live in communities. They have meaning and purpose in their life. They're busy. They're active. They spend a lot of time outdoors. And they eat a healthy diet. So, you know, unfortunately, people today, I know so many people that when I retire, I live in Canada, so the winters are cold.
Yeah, so, I live in Canada too.
Okay, so when it's winter, there's a lot of snowbirds. Once they retire, they go to Florida for 4 months or whatever, not to negate it. But I don't retire from what? You know, like, what gives you meaning and purpose in your life? You know, you worked 40 years as a teacher, you worked 40 years as a plumber, whatever. I'm not negating it, but there's got to be more purpose and meaning in your life. Whether you decide to teach your children and grandchildren your skill, how to bake cookies, you know, decide that you're going to run the marathon in your age category, decide that you're going to teach your daughter or granddaughter how to ski and she becomes a world-class athlete. So what gives you meaning and purpose? What kind of legacy are you going to leave when you leave this earth plane? What are you going to be remembered for? You know,
we don't talk about that in today's world, right?
No, we don't. Legacy. And that extends your life. That extends your life because you've got something to work for. You've got something that gives you personal satisfaction. You're making an impact, a difference in people's lives. So dementia is totally preventable. You know, it's your mindset, once again, meaning and purpose in your life, your diet, and surround yourself with supportive people. You know, we're not meant to be solo players. Yeah. You know, get involved in communities, whether it's a book club, a chess club, a gardening club, a knitting club, you know, to keep your mind active with your hands. And, you know, gardening and dancing, they're saying, is excellent for seniors, for your mind.
So are you a dancer, Alexi?
Not anymore. But my father did teach me how to do the waltz in the kitchen when I was about 7 or 8 years old. So, I mean, I don't go out dancing anymore, but I would welcome the opportunity. How's that?
Well, the waltz is a nice, peaceful dance. I find it's a nice flow, right? It kind of guides you on the floor. I used to dance on my grandpa's feet.
Oh, okay. That's a happy memory. So that's a happy memory for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to dance on my grandpa's feet. And then I took some dance lessons and I learned the foxtrot and that at the...
And then the tango, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, at the Fred Astaire Dance School.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right.
That was pretty cool. When I first started, it was like a box. Like, I was, like, tight. And then you kind of just loosen up as you get to know. And it's good for exercise. It's good for weight loss dancing. So let's get into gardening because I love planting seeds. We're planting seeds right now with this tea. So when you garden, Alexi, what do you think of?
Well, you're you know, giving some seed, some plant, a chance to live, to thrive, to show its magnificence, to nourish people with their bounty. And it's very relaxing. You connect with Mother Earth, with the soil, with the little critters running around in the soil, and they have been shown to increase our immunity, our microbiome, and our gut. You know, when we were kids, we used to drink water from the hose and we ate mud and whatever, it was no big deal. Whereas now, oh my gosh, get the antiseptic and the hand wash and wash all that off. I mean, that is so detrimental for the mindset and the health of the child. You know, get out there and get dirty and enjoy the sunshine and the fresh air and the greenery and just smell that chlorophyll.
Yeah. I know as a grandma now, I have a little one and I want to instill these things into her. Like, get dirty. Let's play, you know. Let's bring out, instead of a little, like we were playing air hockey last night, and instead of using a little ball, we use colored ice cubes. And then okay, well, these are the orange ones, these are the pink ones, and she's going to be 3 in March. And she just had a blast. And we were just pretending that it was air hockey. And she right away, she's like, I win. And there was no score, there was nothing. You know, it's the moments. We got to take the time for the moments and the pleasure. And that's what I want to do with these tea times, is I want to plant a bunch of seeds. Different flavors of seeds, you know, talk to the little critters and talk to the different teas and just leave that moment behind. Alexi, when you talked about the mud, it brought back a lot of memories because I was the mud girl. Even when I was 19 and I had my son, I was looking for that mud. I had a craving for mud. Everybody had cravings for ice cream and pickles. I had craving for mud. I was just like, there's this mud I need. So did you ever make a mud pie when you were a little
kid? No, actually I didn't. No. But I did spend a lot of time outdoors, roller skates and playing, skipping, you know, playing tag. We used to make little wagons with buttons in cardboard and on a string. And, you know, that was our little friend. We'd drag it down the street. So, you know, you sort of did what little equipment or tools you had to work with. But we were all happy. And, you know, our parents used to call us in at 8:30, 9 o'clock, time to go to bed. We weren't attached to our cell phones. I mean, our society is so different today. Kids don't know how to play outside. Because they're always sitting at their cell phone or on their computer.
or the street lights would come on and you knew it was time to go home.
That's right. Or the neighbors would tell you, you better get home, you know?
Right. The neighbors were engaged back then. They were like the babysitter, like, oh, you better get yourself home there. You're going to get yourself in trouble.
That's right. Very true.
I was raised a lot with my grandparents and my aunts and uncles. They all lived on the same street, and they all would say, you better get yourself home there because grandma and grandpa are going to be coming looking for you. So, you know, and we played like in the junkyards in the old cars and pretend to be race car drivers, and the imagination that we had back then. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to bring is I want to bring that old style of connecting with nature and individuals and, you know, playing with the water hose. You know, now if you get the water hose, oh, that's cold. Oh, I'm gonna. Yeah. That's how they used to wash us off when we were dirty.
That's right.
Back in the house, and there's the water hose. So I want to get into some of your childhood memories that you had growing up.
Well, my father, I remember teaching me how to dance. My father had professional figure skates. He wasn't a professional figure skater, but he had professional figure skates. So we would go in the evenings to the rink down the road that had been frozen and ice skate, and everybody, you know, good and God with him, because a professional figure skater was not to be seen anywhere unless, you know, you watch the Olympics. So I really enjoyed that time with him. He used to read to me at night because my mother was always working. You know, I was an only child, so I learned how to entertain myself. So there was another little girl that lived just a couple doors away, and she was an only child, so we used to spend a lot of times together. And we just, you know, spent a lot of time outdoors and did things in the sunshine and the fresh air and got dirty, but it was okay. And, you know, as a treat, you'd go across the street and get an ice cream cone. I remember ice cream cone for 6 cents, if you can believe it. That's a century ago.
They sell these little cards where they show how much the gas was, how much the bread was, and I'm like in the year that you're born, and it's amazing the difference. Like, do you know how many ice creams you could buy for 6 cents today?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Like, I think we need to bring that back, like ice cream at 6 cents. Like, it's so. What was your favorite song growing up?
My mother used to take me to watch all the romantic movies, you know, like An Affair to Remember or Love is a Splendid Thing. So sort of those old songs I really resonate with. I don't know. I can't think of a childhood song that really identify with, but I would identify with these love songs from these early movies, and I still remember them even to this day. And I guess probably... I don't know if there's a soundtrack to it, but one of my all-time old favorite movies was Gone with the Wind. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I saw that, or Sound of Music. I saw that just as probably 6 times too. So, you know, the hills are alive with the sound of music. I mean, and I remember that, you know, anybody from our age group would remember that as well.
Sound of Music is my favorite movie of all times. I think I have watched that show over 100 times.
And oh, is that right? Oh my goodness.
It is my favorite. It is my all-time favorite movie. I turn to it and I just feel the ease. And then I feel the struggle of the family. And then the music of saving the family. Like, it just got so many blessings and messages in that movie, you know, and it's playful. And I love this. These are a few of my favorite things.
That's right, exactly.
You know, like it was really playful. It was really connecting, and the family, the unity of the family. I think because of growing up and being, my family was very dysfunctional, so we stayed with my grandparents a while, and then aunts and uncles and stuff like that. I think the Sound of Music kind of just brought that connection of when families stick together, look at the magic that can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, incredible. Gone with the Wind is gone. Another amazing one. So were you like into the black and white movies at all?
Oh yeah, they were black and white back then. That definitely, you know, you didn't have the color. Oh, and I remember I used to watch Walt Disney on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, I think. And then there was Lassie. And then at 9 o'clock was Bonanza. I mean, talk about dating yourself. Oh my gosh.
Right. Kind of giving our ages away. I'm going to be 50 in May. And a lot of people are like, Miss Liz, you don't show it. And I said, yeah. And I've always been an old soul. And I think that's why I connected a lot with my grandma, is because we could connect about those old movies, the old shows. The newer stuff, I'm like, it's not my cup of tea. I don't like that stuff, Grandma. I like the other stuff. My dad used to wake me up at 3 a.m. when he was drunk, and he would say, okay, Blondie and Dagwood. And a lot of people are like, oh, I never even knew about that. I was like, Leave It to Beaver. My dad would wake me up in the middle of the night, and then we would watch the hour show, and he'd say, okay, now go back to bed because you have to get up for school. And you know, and it's the memories, the moments. And those were kind moments, kind memories to have on too. So what techniques and tools and tips do you give to others that they can do this for themselves?
Well, I just say, you know, practice random acts of kindness or show gratitude to at least one person you meet every day, whether it's a smile, whether it's a hug, whether it's a compliment, whether you buy a cup of tea to your school guard crossing, whether, you know, when you're in the grocery store and the cashier is checking out and giving you your items, ask her what her name is and thank her by her name. And make, 'cause everybody likes to hear their name. You know, being a chef, I give out these little, you know, I put in a little Ziploc bag, two little treats. One is like a coconut cashew truffle, and the other one's a chocolate macaroon. They're gluten and dairy free. And so on my walks, I just hand them up to strangers, because happiness in your tummy goes a long way. So, you know, just little things you can do just to put a smile on people's faces. You know, sharing the joke, like I said, the compliment, the kind act, holding the door open, sending an anonymous card, saying I appreciate you for whatever. There's all sorts of things you can do just to make the world a better place, one step at a time. Absolutely. And show your children by example that they can do the same thing as well.
So what final message would you have for everybody today, Lexi?
Happiness matters in so many capacities, and it all starts with us. One step at a time, whatever it is, whether it's bringing joy, showing love, appreciating, showing gratitude, or a kind word, random acts of kindness. Do at least one thing every day, every single day. And at the end of the day, make it a habit to write in a journal. If you're not into journals, this is a good start. Write down 3 things that you appreciate about yourself that day. And those 3 things cannot be repeated the next day or the next day or the next day. They all have to be new and genuine. And it could be anything. I appreciate that I made myself a good meal. I appreciate that I went to exercise today. I appreciate that I made somebody smile. I appreciate that I got that job. Whatever it is. But always include somebody else. It's not just about you.
I like that you said that. Do something different every day. Because we fall into these patterns, right? Where it makes it easy. So we got to get a little uncomfortable. We got to work a little bit. We got to do some hard work here. I like that you said that. Change it up. Because, you know, we get into these patterns where we're just like, well, I enjoy my meal. I'm grateful for the beautiful day. I'm grateful for the sunshine. And then the next day we say the same thing, right? I'm grateful for my meal. I'm grateful for my home. But changing it up actually opens up the gratitude.
That's right. Every day has to be something different. Oh, and if one really key thing I would like to suggest is when somebody does something for you, don't just say thanks. Say thank you. It makes a world of difference. You're personalizing it.
Yeah. When you're saying thanks, it's kind of just like you're brushing it off.
Yeah. It's just sort of like generic.
Yeah. Add the word you. Add some, you know, take the time to put the word you in there at least.
That's right.
So you gave me the word happy to describe yourself. Why that word?
Because I wake up in the morning and I look at the positivity, not the negativity. Like when you get up in the morning, is it, oh, I have to get up. Oh, I have to go see the doctor. Oh, it's raining again. Oh, I have to take the doctor, the car into the, to get fixed. Think of positive things. Think of what you're grateful for. Think of the impact you can maybe make in somebody's life. Think of whose life you can bring a smile to, because you can do it for everybody. And it all starts with you. And really catch yourself about complaining or blaming. If I could just share one of my example, a four-year-old girl goes with her dad, with her grandfather on Sunday afternoons for ice cream and cookies. And one Sunday afternoon, he's sick in bed. So he asks grandma to take the little girl. So off the two of them go for a couple hours, come back. She goes running up to her grandfather's room. He's still sick in bed. And grandpa says, so how was that? And she says, we didn't see any horses, asses, sons of bitches, or tree huggers. All grandma did was wave and smile. It was really boring. As funny as it is, it's not. Because right from the beginning already, she's learning to find the negative.
Yeah. But I love it.
But it's cute. It's cute.
It is cute, right? But it is true. We seem to find the negative before the positive.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I love that. That was cute. And a really good message as well. So do you have a joke for us to wrap us up?
Yeah, sure. Okay. A four-year-old girl goes with her mother to deliver meals to seniors who are shut-ins. And this little girl is totally fascinated by all the equipment the seniors have, the wheelchairs, the walkers, the canes. And one day she notices a set of dentures sitting in a glass of water. And she keeps on staring at it and staring at it. And finally she says to her mother, the tooth fairy's never going to believe this one.
That's a good one. You know, and we need that. We need laughter. We need to have some fun. We need to play a little. Mm-hmm. So for all the little girls out there, Alexi, what message do you have for the little girls?
Have fun and take your mother and your grandmother with you. For example, several years ago, my girlfriend and I, both are seniors, bought some bubbles. And we sat in the park on a bench and we blew bubbles. Why not? Be a kid again. So get your little four-year-old girl to take your mother, or your grandmother, or your aunt, and be a kid. Play on the swings. Blow bubbles. Get some chewing gum. Just be a kid, you know.
Chewing gum. And I love that you brought bubbles in, because we're going to wrap it up. We're almost at the end. Last night, I found out at almost the age of 50 that bubbles can bounce if you add sugar. I didn't know that. So they call them bouncing bubbles. So we had bouncing bubbles last night over here. And if you add sugar to your dish soap and your water, it actually allows the bubbles to bounce. So wow. We had like little bouncing balls in the kitchen over here last night.
Oh, isn't that neat? That is really cool.
Yeah, because my daughter's like, Mom, do you want to have some bouncing bubbles? And I was like, well, bubbles bounce. And she's like, no, like they're going to bounce. We can bounce them like a ball. And I said, oh, well, look at that. But you have to use your sweater, because when it touches the skin, then the bubble pops. Yeah. But you need to, I guess it's something with the fabric. I guess it's the energy and the frequencies that are mm-hmm. bouncing these bubbles. But yeah, just play. I love that you say that, play, you know, because
yeah, just, you know, go. Who's to say that you can't get on a swing when you're 50 or 60 or 70 years old? It's not restricted to when you're 10.
Yeah. So, Alexi, if anybody wanted to reach out to you to connect with you and have them on their podcast or on their platforms or events or anything like that, how can they reach you?
Best place is LinkedIn. Just Google my name, Alexi Bracey, and LinkedIn is the best place.
That's what I kind of figured. I thought the LinkedIn would. Well, I really want to just thank you for coming and sitting and having tea with me, because this has been a fun moment. You brought a lot of memories back, and, you know, sometimes it's fun just to play. And we were playing today on Tea Time. So if you enjoyed the tea time, share it with a family member. Sit down, have a cup of tea and listen to this conversation and see how it brings a flow of memories back for you as well. I will be back at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with a second tea, and we're going to be talking about conscious stories. Andrew Newman is going to be coming in, and he has a series of children's bedtime stories that get the children involved. So you know, Miss Liz, she's big on education and big on children's stuff. So I am a grandma, so maybe that has something to do with it. So I want to thank you again, Lexi, for joining me. And I want to thank the viewers and listeners out there. If you're listening to Tea Time, please push hashtag replay and let me know where you're tuning in from, because I always like to hear from where you guys are coming in from. Until then, I'll see you at 7 p.m. with the second TEA of this week.
Thanks, Miss Liz. Thank you.
You're very welcome.